Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, 12:05 is the time here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're in hour number two of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Brayton Wilson filling in for Nate Geary this week. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and your reactions to this point over the text line, over the phone lines, and also on Twitter. You're more than welcome to join us at any point throughout this afternoon. Our phone line and our text line number is 716-803-0550. And I'm really excited here to be joined on the Wester Hotline by a good friend of the program, good friend of the station, Matt Perino from New York State, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us here on WGR. Matt, good afternoon. Now, thanks again for taking some time after Bills practice to join us. Welcome into the show.
What is up, Brayton? Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, thanks again for taking the time to join us. Anything that happened at Bills practice today that caught your eye that is of note, other than the fact that Dawson Knox not out there and is not going to play this Monday against the Chiefs?
You know, Tremaine Edmonds wound up back in the red non-contact jersey yesterday, which I think was a little bit eye-opening, just because he had played all last week in practice without it. Obviously, he's been dealing with a shoulder injury, but he was out there today. It's a little bit of a lighter practice. But he didn't have the red non-contact on today, and they were in their gear. So that's a very good sign as he continues to come back. And, you know, that's been one, you know, storyline that's kind of arcing here over the last couple of weeks, where there's a big chunk of the fan base that has been a little unhappy with the play of Tremaine Edmonds. I dove into it a little bit this week. Lorenzo Alexander chimed in, said that, you know, and I'm usually going to defer to his take on the situation because, you know, he played the game. He knows what he's looking at. And he said that he thought Tremaine Edmonds had a good game last week. And you know, I know a lot of people are thinking that he's been struggling, but, you know, that's going to be a storyline to watch because this week, you know, if Matt Milano can play, and I'd imagine he'll be listed as questionable in a full practice yesterday, which is huge news. But Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano have their hands full this week. Travis Kelce is an absolute beast. The speed that they have at their disposal with Mecole Hardman and obviously Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins won't play. So those two guys are dynamic and they can move around the formation. They're going to have their hands full. And I thought the Raiders did a really good job, you know, their linebackers specifically, playing against that speed and the playmaking ability of Kelce last week. So very important storyline to watch.
Yeah, I mean, at least the fact that Matt Milano is likely to be back in the lineup with the way that he's been able to practice all week, it's good news. And especially with the way that the Raiders were able to defend the Chiefs, I mean, that's going to be very important, not only just with the linebackers trying to contain Travis Kelce and all the other guys in the middle of the field, like it was difficult for them to defend the Titans last week, but certainly, it's important that a guy like Tre'Davious White is back because he is going to be able to be focused solely on Tyreek Hill or whoever he goes up against with trying to contain this Chiefs offense who, you know, if you give him just a slight opening, Patrick Mahomes is going to take advantage as being a former MVP and a Super Bowl MVP as well.
Yeah, they need all hands on deck. And you can't really understate the importance of Tre'Davious White in this on this defense. And you know, even if you want to say that maybe he's been a little bit, not maybe the same player that he was a year ago, I'm wondering how much of a little lingering issue he's been dealing with. But, you know, this is an all-pro for a reason. And, you know, not only for Tre'Davious White having him, but what it allows Josh Norman's role to be. And I think we saw last week him moving into that cornerback one role. I think that he is on the other side of that role in his career. I think that you want him to be that number two guy, playing opposite a guy like Trey White, where, you know, opposing quarterbacks are sometimes concerned about attacking that side of the field. So, you know, yeah, having Tre'Davious White back in the mix, Micah Hyde said this week, every time that he's on the field with us, we feel like we have a guy, a bona fide guy that can make plays. And that's what they need to do. That, you know, you dissect all this stuff every which way, and you know, we dive into all the different angles all week. I think the big thing with this Bills defense is when they've been at their best this season, they've been making plays. And I thought that they figured something out in the second half of the Raiders game in terms of the defensive line and applying some pressure on Derek Carr, making things uncomfortable, forcing some turnovers. They have to do that this week, because if you do not take the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, you need your offense to score 6, 7, 8 times to win. And I just tweeted out a stat. I think it's 7 of 10 total drives the Raiders scored on last week, and they held the ball for over 35 minutes. That's the key. That's the recipe. And can the Bills do it? Yeah, I think they can do it. And I think that I don't think this defense in Kansas City is as good as it was last year. And I also think that without Sammy Watkins, I think that they become a little bit easier, if you want to say easier, to defend them because of everything that he can do. But they're still, they have weapons everywhere. And I think the one good thing is for Bills fans is you're not going to have to deal with, you know, Le'Veon Bell added to the mix this week. He can't play because of the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about Le'Veon Bell. I'll get to that right now. Just what are your thoughts on him joining that Chiefs team, even though he isn't going to play like you did say, but how did you feel about him choosing the Chiefs over the Bills, and were you kind of set on him joining the Bills, or, you know, how open to the idea were you?
I was certainly open to it, and I definitely think it would have been an interesting addition because they've been trying to stockpile talent on both sides of the ball, specifically on offense around Josh Allen for a while now. So it didn't surprise me that there was interest in, there. I still have a little bit higher hopes than Devin Singletary for Singletary and Moss than I think some frustrated Bills fans have fallen to at this point. I think it's been a struggle. I think they've really emphasized the passing game, and they've really designed without a lot of lead up and a lot of practice time, you know, without all of the spring and without all of the preseason, they really just went into this thing like, all right, we're going to pass the ball. We're going to attack teams with all the weapons that we have. And I'm wondering how much the run game has just got to kind of gotten left, you know, in the background. But I think that with, you know, Bobby Johnson showed last year, he's a guy that can, you know, get things figured out in that run game. They had a lull last year, and, you know, Devin Singletary finished the season absolutely on fire, had a couple of really big games. As far as Bell, you know, I think that I'm interested to see how it plays out, because we all saw what happened with LeSean McCoy. Now, I'm not suggesting that Le'Veon Bell, you know, is at the stage of his career that McCoy was at when he went to the Chiefs. I still think that there's some good football left in Le'Veon Bell, but I definitely don't think he's the guy that held out for a year and left the Pittsburgh Steelers at his kind of the height of his production. I don't think he's that same guy. So I think he's going to be a part of a tandem there, a 1-2 punch with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he could be really good because anybody that's got some talent and has got some juice, you throw them into the mix with the Patrick Mahomes-led offense, and they're probably going to do some damage. But I'm still bullish on Devin Singletary. And he posted you know, on Instagram a little sleepy emoji with a picture of himself running the football. And, you know, maybe he does take this a little bit personally, and maybe he does. This is a little bit of a kick for him to make the most out of every time he gets the chance to touch the ball, because that's one of the things in an offense like this. And it's one of the reasons why I think it's been tough for Dallas and Knox to get things going, other than the fact that he struggles to hold on to the football when it's thrown to him, is that you don't get many chances in an offense that features Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. So when you get to touch the rock, you better do the most with it. And I would play Devin Singletary in fantasy this week, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think Devin Singletary is going to be a huge factor, just because obviously with the way that this Chiefs defense is one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, I think that a game plan surrounded around a running attack like Devin Singletary, and even if Zach Moss is able to get in, get him involved as well, that's going to be a huge important factor for this Bills offense to be able to keep up with the likely offensive attack that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to bring.
Yes, I agree, but I was with you on that front last week. Going into that game last week, Tennessee was giving up some of the the highest, I think it was the second or third worst run defense in the league going into that game.
It's very true.
And they just couldn't do anything. I think it comes down to, you know, the offensive line has to step up. Mitch Morse talked a little bit about it yesterday. And, you know, it's got to be an execution thing. And they have a new piece in there with Brian Winters. And I do think that when it comes to offensive line play, and I might be a little bit of a broken record for anybody that listens to my podcast, and, you know, with myself and Ryan Talbot, we talk about this a lot. I think they miss John Feliciano. I think they miss that demeanor that he brought, that nastiness that he brought, because that kind of thing rubs off on an offensive line. Mitch Morris is not a guy that's going to be out there foaming at the mouth. Even Deion Dawkins, for as great as he is and as good of a player as he is, he even said, man, John Feliciano flipped the switch for us last year. And so I think that that's something that I don't know if he can return this week. He was practicing this week. I would imagine that we're still probably a week away. And even when he is able to play, you wonder how quickly they can get him back into, you know, 60 snaps a week. But I think that they need a little bit of a jolt when it comes to energy, when it comes to juice, and just the overall mentality of that offensive line. You've got to be nasty to excel in the run game.
Yeah, and even with Feliciano, a pectoral muscle is never an easy injury to come back from and be able to be 100% from. I mean, we kind of saw that last year when J.J. Watt made it back from his pectoral injury, even though he played against the Bills and won the opening wild card round game. He certainly didn't have as much of a factor as he has in the past, but certainly he's had other injury problems. One of the, obviously, the injury problems that the Bills have is with tight end and Dawson Knox being not playing. And Matt, I was really looking forward this week to seeing Dawson Knox and the potential for him to be utilized in a certain way against this Chiefs defense, where, yes, we've seen Dawson Knox put up some really good performances. I mean, the Bengals game comes to mind last year where he used his strength and that ability to move down the field with the stiff arm. I mean, there's a reason why he's called Mr. Stiff Arm. But the drops are a consistent problem, and he's been dropping balls again. But I really wanted to see Dawson Knox step up, and he's got to obviously be out. Do you think now it's going to be highlighted by Tyler Kroft, or how do you think that this passing game is going to be utilized, or is it just going to be back with attacking the ball with using the deep threats like John Brown and Stephon Diggs and other routes like that?
Oh yeah, you go back to the well, Brayden. It's going to be Stephon Diggs, it's going to be John Brown, and I went back and watched this morning before practice in between. We go down there for our COVID test in the morning and then practice 2 hours later, so I needed something to kill some time. So I went back and watched the Kansas City game, and this secondary for the Chiefs are really susceptible over the top. And you probably figure out, Steve Spagnuolo probably went into the lab this week and tried to figure out, diagnose what exactly, you know, the issues were that led to a ton of huge, massive plays last week for the Raiders. But I think that you get John Brown back in the mix, and Stephon Diggs even said it this week, man. I think everybody realized how important he is to the blueprint that has allowed this offense to have the success that it's had this year. So now you get those two guys back in the mix. You still, if you do a good job of taking one of those two guys away, we saw Cole Beasley able to eat against the Raiders 2 weeks ago when he had six catches for 100 yards. It's really tough to stop. I'll be interested to see if Zach Moss is healthy. If he's inactive again, how much do maybe we see an increased role for T.J. Yeldon, who made a big, you know, they love guys that earn more time, earn their place, mm-hmm. earn their, you know, the kind of load that they get. And I think with Yeldon, he went out last week. I thought he ran hard. He converted a couple first downs and then made a big play when the Bills were down. They needed somebody to make a big play. And so you could maybe look for him to be involved a little bit more in the passing game. But I think Tyler Kroft I almost feel like, in a weird way, because of how much they feature the receivers, Tyler Kroft might be a better, more reliable guy for that, you know, 4 to 5 target range per game. And he made the most of it a couple weeks ago when he had the 2 touchdown catches. So I think that they're fine. I think Stephon Diggs is still the guy that you want to get the ball to. Just like, you know, he's not a tight end, but Travis Kelce for the Chiefs, he is a tight end, but he's also their top playmaker. He's the guy that kind of makes it, stirs the strength. Tyreek Hill is great, But I think that Travis Kelce is the guy that allows them to be so dynamic everywhere else. And I think that's what Stephon Diggs is for the Bills.
Matt Perino from New York State Up, NewYorkUpstate.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. A few more minutes with him as the Bills were just on the practice field, and Matt was there taking it in and getting the chance to watch the final things before the final injury report comes out later on and before we get to Monday afternoon's game against the Chiefs in Orchard Park at Bill Stadium. Matt, obviously, with this matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs, the headline feature has to be Mahomes versus Allen, right? And a former MVP, a Super Bowl MVP against a quarterback from Buffalo who really is trying to set himself up to be the next MVP caliber type of quarterback in this league. That has to be the spotlight feature, right, between the two squads?
Oh, my gosh. All day Monday on ESPN SportsCenter is going to be video of all of the unbelievable throws that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have made so far this season. And, you know, to be here at week six after, you know, I think that the narrative is flipped on Josh nationally. I think that he's done enough early on that, you know, the quote-unquote haters and the people that maybe didn't believe in the potential that some others believed in, you know, that's kind of changed now. And I think he's kind of generally looked at as, you know, must-see TV is a guy that, you know, like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that, that when he's playing in prime time now, people are going to want to watch. And he's just like the ultimate roller coaster because you never know when he's going to dip into the bag and bring out the crazy, wild gunslinger Josh Allen, which I know a lot of fans and, you know, at times as coaches would like him to, you know, holster a little bit, if you will. But I think that that's part of the experience. I think that's part of the fun. And I also think that these two guys are guys that respect each other, but are super competitive, know what this matchup means. They kind of insinuated, like, Josh never talks about the opposing team's quarterback. He's been asked about Sam Darnold millions of times. It's always, I play the defense, he plays our defense. But this week he said, yeah, it's going to be fun to play against Patrick Mahomes. I love watching him play too. And so I think they know what's on the line, but Josh said something very astute earlier this week about what he needs to do in this game to help mitigate the impact of Patrick Mahomes. And that is take care of the ball and drive and make plays and score points. Because the more you do that, the more chances you take away from Patrick Mahomes. The more chances he gets, the more likely you are to lose. I mean, this could be a shootout. I was listening to you right before I went on, and I think you said both teams scoring 40. That could be a very, very real thing in this game. The first one to 40, maybe the first one to 50 wins it, and that's fun. Monday Night Football, let's go.
Yeah, right. I mean, when was the last time we saw an offensive shootout in this matter with this Bills team? I mean, it's been maybe since the 90s.
I mean, it's been a long time. There's been a lot of J.P. Lossman, Trent Edwards, E.J. Manuel, even Ryan Fitzpatrick at some of the, you know, the lower ends of the of his tenure, as good as he was at times. It's been a lot of, you know, bad football. So I'm thrilled. You know, this is so fun. Like, it's, you know, Bills Mafia has been in the news this week with, you know, the Bills teaming up with Del Reed and putting a copyright on that and some fun things to come there. And it's just like a time to celebrate Buffalo. And I was saying it last week, or earlier this week, actually. It's not last week. It was a couple days ago now because it was Tuesday Night Football, about, you know, I love the primetime games because I feel like it shines a light on Buffalo. And I grew up here. I grew up rooting for this team. I grew up rooting for this city. And this is a time that, you know, you don't know where it's going to go. But right now, as we sit here, 4-1, this Bills team is, it's a time for fans to celebrate and enjoy the shine. And I think they're going to get a lot of that the next couple days.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, I guess final thing I'll ask you is, how do you think this game plays out? Do you think it is going to end up like that high offensive octane scoring game, or do you think that you know, maybe both teams are going to be bouncing back defensively and it's just going to be that type of game where you're going to get some offense, but then you're going to get some defense? How do you think this plays out?
Bills 45, Chiefs 42. Oh. It is going to be the shootout that everybody is excited for. And I think some fans are probably not as excited for, because that's gonna, you know, that game's gonna give you a little bit of a heart attack at times, I think. But it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun to watch. I think the Chiefs are gonna really struggle with John Brown back, looking like he's moving around really well. He's healthy. I think this offensive line will rally around Mitch Morse playing his former team, and just the, you know, wanting to get the bad taste out of their mouth has been one of the big things I've heard out of there this week. And I think that they can do that against this team. And I think Micah Hyde said it too really well on what you have to do. They have an understanding of how to play against Patrick Mahomes. The play is not over when the initial routes are ran. There's a second part to every passing play where he's able to kind of, you know, think on the fly and change things up and be a dynamic playmaker. And so you have to really play to the whistle every single play. And I think that this defense is going to be motivated to do it. And I think this defensive line will have a better performance this week. I think that'll be a part of it too.
Matt, not only did you make me very happy with your prediction for the score, but I think you made a lot of other people very happy just because of the outcome of that score. So I appreciate you taking the time this early afternoon now to join me, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the beautiful fall weather we're expected to get later today and into tomorrow. And we'll hear from more of you from, you know, at some point here along the road. But thanks again for taking the time.
Anytime, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com joins us here on the West Her Hotline. And a little bit of some breaking news here in college football ranks. Nick Saban has been medically cleared to coach tonight for Alabama against Georgia. He got his third consecutive negative test for COVID-19 after testing positive earlier in the week. So Nick Saban, after testing positive, is back on the sidelines coming up tonight against Georgia as the, I believe it's... I might have it wrong here with whether it, you know, which team's number two and which team is number three, but I think it's number two Alabama against number three Georgia. Could be wrong there, but one of those teams is number two, the other team is number three, and both of them are facing each other tonight. So it should be a good college football game. I'm saying college basketball. I don't know why I did that, but college football game between Georgia and Alabama, and Nick Saban is going to be on the sideline for tonight's game. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we'll get a Kansas City Chiefs perspective on this game as Soren Petro joins us here on WGR, and we'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs, his thoughts on the Bills, and how this game's going to play out as well. Brayton Wilson here, filling in for Nate Geary on Sports Talk Saturday. Corey Griswold producing here on WGR. Ooh, I like the vibe that you're giving off here, Corey. This is great. Welcome back in. Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
You're our resident, vaporwave, retrowave expert here at the station. I'm more of a yacht rock kind of guy. I'm a dad, so I got the dad rock. So this is the kind of vibes I bring to the station.
I saw you responded on Twitter to that one question of what's the best...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is it, the best dad song ever?
Mm-hmm. What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers is on the list. Mm. I should absolutely have picked a Steely Dan song. I mean, Steely Dan has to be one of those.
Well, you could come back with any of those songs at any point on the next one, because I'm not familiar with that Doobie Brothers song.
You better watch your mouth, son. You better be careful, because that will go to the deep cuts.
I'm up for whatever. I'm up for whatever. You know me. I'm up for whatever when it comes to songs being played on this station. As long as we're able to play them, we'll play them. Brayton Wilson here, filling in for Nate Geary on WGR Sports Radio 515 Sports Talk Saturday. Joining me right now on the Western Hotline is Seren Petro. He works at 810 AM in Kansas City, joining us here. And Seren is great to join us after. I know, Seren, that you're good friends with Sal Capaccio, and I was able to get a hold of you through him. So thanks again for taking the time this morning, afternoon. I know still morning out in Central Time area where you are, but thanks again for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, obviously, with going into this week, for Kansas City's perspective, they're going to be without Sammy Watkins offensively, but is there anyone else that the Chiefs are going to be worried about not having available for this game in terms of injuries?
You know, Andy Reid will always give you the next man up, right? That's the mantra of the NFL, and so they won't talk about it. I'll say this. I think there are a couple of things that are of note in this game for Bills fans. One, Sammy Watkins being out, you're going to look at his numbers and say, well, what does that really matter? And I'll tell you what, it's one of the bigger conversations in Kansas City is why Sammy Watkins actually does, even though statistically his own personal stats aren't that big, across the board they're a significantly better offense when he's on the field. They average close to 2 yards per carry more running the football. He's a much better blocker than anybody they'll put in there because he's 220 pounds and can really hold the point of attack. And their passing game is just better. He just draws more attention than anybody else can. Mecole Hardman is a guy, he'll be the guy that kind of bumps up, and he's a guy with electric speed that can beat you for a big play. But down in, down out, Sammy Watkins means a lot to this offense. And really, you know, it was the topic of conversation for Andy Reid, for Eric Bieniemy, all day, all week, about what is it about Sammy Watkins that is such an energizer for this offense. And, you know, we didn't really get a straight answer, but I think it is a more significant injury than what Sammy Watkins' statistics would tell you. And then they've really had problems guard to guard. You know, Lauren Duvernay-Tardif opted out, and Lucas Niang, who was their third-round pick, a guy who probably had bottom-of-the-first-round talent as an offensive tackle out of TCU but had a hip injury that he was trying to overcome, he opted out as well. And I think really that was their plan at right and left guard. So, you know, you're not going to see that anybody's out today at those guard spots. Really, you're talking about, and they've been playing all year with a couple of backup guards, and that's been a problem. They've struggled to run the ball, and their protection on the inside has forced Patrick Mahomes to eject, I think, earlier than he wanted to. So offensively, I think those are the things that they're going to really have to overcome in Buffalo on Monday afternoon.
Seren, I want to ask you about last week's performance for the Chiefs against the Raiders. It seemed like that Las Vegas came into the game with a really good game plan to face Patrick Mahomes and that offense, and did a really nice job, especially in the second half, containing him. What was it last week from a Chiefs perspective that went wrong for Mahomes, the offense, the defense? How did you break down last week's loss from your perspective?
Right. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that's exactly the conversation that was going on in Kansas City, although a couple of times I pointed out, I said, listen, everybody's focal point is the offense on a day that they scored 32 points. I mean, the defense did give up 40, and I think that was one of the problems. You know, they're used to having that big surge, which they had in the second quarter, and that's a quarter going back to last year. That's been, you know, really a great one for them, where they really take over the game, and then the defense gets to play from in front. Gets a lot easier when the offense has become one-dimensional, trying to dig out of that hole, and the defense didn't do their part in the second quarter. So I think this game could have looked really different from an offensive perspective if things had gone how they usually do, and that's the Chiefs playing from in front. Instead, it was the Raiders that had the big surge, got back in front, forced the Chiefs to become one-dimensional, and then they could protect. You know, the Raiders were getting to Patrick Mahomes with four. The Chargers and Gus Bradley have really kind of given the blueprint to everybody, and the Patriots kind of copied this and held the Chiefs offense to 19 points. They got a defensive score that made it 26, and they won by double digits. And so that kind of masked the issues they were having on offense in that game against the Patriots. But It's a lot of deep coverage. It's a couple, at least two, if not three safeties back deep, trying to take away the big play and forcing the Chiefs to go down the field. But if you get pressure on Patrick Mahomes with that front four, and with just four, which is what the, you know, the Raiders were able to do, and consistently flushing him out of the pocket and making him scramble. And he does a great job of it, and he makes big plays off the scramble, but you can't do it on every single play. Sometimes, you know, the actual play, the way it was drawn up, needs to actually work so you can set some things up down the road. And they just too often end up with Mahomes having to get out of the pocket and having to take off and make plays on the run. And they became one-dimensional, and the Raiders were really able to get after him that way. And that was a big problem. You know, the Ravens got torched by the Chiefs because they blitz. And Mahomes tears that apart. And so, you know, I think a couple of teams, the Chargers who almost beat him, and then, of course, the Raiders who did beat him, have really shown this is what you do. You take away the big play. If you have to settle for giving up a field goal, you do it. But you don't get beat for those, chunk plays that the Chiefs have really been, set the standard for. You know, there was a stat going into the Raider game. They had 66 plays of 20 yards or more in the two previous years. They'd only had three in the first four games. So I think teams know what they want to do now against the Chiefs.
Yeah, the one thing that was really kind of clear with what was talked about with how the Raiders attacked the Chiefs defense was the secondary and getting Henry Ruggs in behind that secondary. How is that secondary going to have to bounce back, especially against a Bills team who could do almost the same thing, especially with weapons like Stephon Diggs and John Brown being the top two guys that can be really dangerous threats down the field?
You know, that's another aspect. You know, you talk about the Chiefs defense is at corner, which was never considered their strength last year. They played this year. It's really kind of been a rotating door with their corners. Bashaud Breeland, who had an interception in the Super Bowl and played a big role in really making their defense come together last year, was suspended for the first four games. L'Jarius Sneed, a fourth-round rookie, really stepped up and played great. Now he's broken his collarbone. He's been out. Charvarius Ward was the guy that you would have said coming into this year was their number one corner, and he broke a bone in his hand and missed a couple of games and now is playing with a cast on it. And, you know, through the first four games, everyone was kind of lulled into the sense of security because the safeties are so good and very diverse, and Juan Thornhill and, of course, Tyrann Mathieu, that they're able to really kind of cover for it. But the Raiders were able to expose what is some weakness, and I think the Bills have, you know, a lot of tape on what to look at. And I'll say Steve Spagnuolo said, you know, he took responsibility for one of the big plays by the Raiders. He said, I had a bad call. I put Charvarius Ward in a difficult spot, and that one's on me. So there are things, of course, we can always tighten up and do better, but he really felt like one of those plays was on him. And I remember him saying something like that with his linebackers last year after the Packer loss. And after that, the Chiefs only had one more loss the rest of the way, and the defense really took off. So, you know, I think they'll correct some of the things they did, but they are vulnerable on the corner spot because they've got a bunch of guys that are good, but nobody that's great. Nobody that's a true NFL number one, and they'll be playing this game most likely. They will play this game without L'Jarius Sneed, who won't be on the injury report because he's on the IR, but has been a big loss for them since he went down after about the third game.
Soren Petro, host of the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, joining us here on the Wester Hotline, bringing a Chiefs perspective to this upcoming game on Monday against the Bills. Before we get into the offense and kind of their game plan heading into the Bills game this Monday, Soren, want to get your thoughts on the addition of Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, he was a guy that was considering the Bills, joining this team, joining the Dolphins, but in the end, he eventually chooses the Chiefs. What do you think he brings to that group?
You know, probably nothing in this game. I couldn't get a straight answer from Eric Bieniemy this week as to was he officially out, you know, with the 5 days of testing you've got to do before you even enter the complex. Theoretically, the fifth day, you know, could be that game on Monday. But the expectation is that he won't be there for this one. But looking forward, what they want is, I think, really just basically this is their replacement for Damian Williams. You know, Williams was another guy that opted out for the Chiefs and, of course, was one of the heroes. And a lot of people thought maybe should have been the Super Bowl MVP for his performance there. And they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire expecting to have really both of those guys and have that 1-2 punch. But, you know, Damian Williams opted out. So I think this is what gives them depth. This basically bumps down some of their guys that are really, for lack of a better term, just jags at running backs and belong more on special teams. And so now they can consistently have a top-shelf running back. At least they're hoping that Le'Veon Bell is still a top-shelf running back. Consistently have a guy who's a threat both running and catching the ball out on the field and fresh at all times. So I think it gives, you know, they really haven't gotten Clyde Edwards-Helaire involved in the passing game as much as I think a lot of us thought. You know, I had one personnel guy tell me that, you know, he was graded just a tick below Christian McCaffrey. And they really thought he was going to be this great dual threat running back. And we haven't seen that really in the passing game so far. Now, is that because, you know, we haven't seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire really learn the offense? Is that because Andy Reid hasn't been able to get to it? Is that because the protection hasn't been good enough to get to that part of the playbook? I'm not sure, but they definitely get a guy who can catch the ball. And if you're going to be a running back in Andy Reid's scheme, you're going to have to catch the ball. You're going to have to be available as a receiver. And if you're not, you're not going to play for him. So Bell's experience coming out of the backfield, I think, is going to be a big part. We'll just have to see, is he the third down back, or is it just a true committee with the two of them once they get him up to speed?
Got to turn on my mic here. Sorry, sir. And now looking at the offense and how they're going to attack the Bills, what did you notice about this Bills defense, whether it was from last week against Tennessee or throughout the season, that really makes you look at it a certain way where, okay, if the Chiefs do this against this Bills defense, this should be a game where they could easily go out and beat the Bills? Or just what are your thoughts on this Bills defense and how the Chiefs look to attack them this week?
You know, I think Andy Reid is so good at his route combinations that, you know, there isn't a secondary really that you look at and go, okay, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to, you know, get anything done in the passing game. Reid does such a great job of stretching the field vertically and horizontally. I mean, you have to really defend the entire field. And if you look at some of the all 22s, you know, when they come out, you'll see that he literally will have a zone stretch from sideline to sideline. And even now, one of the things they'll do is getting the ball to guys, you know, playmakers like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, you know, when he's healthy, in the backfield, right? Getting him behind the line of scrimmage so that, you know, he's running verticals to send safeties backwards, but then he's bringing the ball back, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And there are just defenders stretched all over the field. The main thing is, I'll go back to the protection. If the Bills can consistently get pressure, which a lot of teams have, on the Chiefs, you know, on Patrick Mahomes, then it gets difficult for them to use where all those guys that are spread all over the field and find those seams and those gaps that are out there. And, you know, they've always been built with money in their tackles and will get by guard to guard, which is, you know, analytics will tell you that's how you should build them. And they weren't great guard to guard last year, frankly, but their tackles were exceptional. And Mitchell Schwartz was maybe the best tackle in football, and he has not been what we've been used to. Now, is that because there was no off season, no preseason games? Is he hurt and we don't know about it? I don't know, but Mitchell Schwartz was a guy that you could say, Von Miller, you're not getting anything done today. Bosa, you're not getting anything done today. And that hasn't been the case. So, you know, if they can't protect, particularly at the tackle spot, then there's a lot of things that they just can't get to with their offense. So, yeah, I think this comes down, if the Bills are going to win this game, they're going to have to win at the line of scrimmage and win with just four guys. Because once you start bringing extra guys, I mean, Andy Reid is just committed to getting five and out into the pass pattern. And there's going to be something open if you start bringing guys. And Mahomes will find them, because probably the most underrated part of Mahomes' game is the intelligence. Everybody talks about the arm, but his intelligence and his vision, it is a freaky spatial, you know, instinct that he has. He feels the rush. He feels people around him, but he also has a great sense of whether or not the DB can or can't get there. And when he throws an interception, it's almost always either at the end of a half where there's only a few seconds left, and it's either, you know, take a knee and get out of there without, you know, getting a pick, or throwing it into harm's way. And that's what he did, you know, down, I think it was, what would have been down 9, I guess, last week. You know, he threw the ball into harm's way and it got picked off by the Raiders, but it's because he was down 9 and there was 4 to go in the game. There's no point just holding on to the ball. He needed to give his receiver a chance to make a play, and instead the Raiders got the pick. So, you know, his ability, if you're not pressuring him, he's ultimately going to beat you.
Couple more minutes here with Seren Petro from Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City, joining us here on the Wester Hotline. So, looking at the offenses for both of these squads, Seren, the Chiefs are, let me see here, I think they're third overall in yards per game in the NFL, and the Bills are fifth overall in yards per game in the NFL. Are you expecting this game to be the type of offensive shootout that we only get to see every once in a while, where both teams are putting up 30-plus points in this game and maybe even more than that? Or how do you think this game plays out from both teams' perspectives here?
You know, and that's one of the things that's really different for the Chiefs. You know, I watched the Monday night game go 54-51, and the Chiefs become the first team in NFL history to score 50 and lose 2 years ago when they went out to play the Rams.
That's right.
They've had those games. They scored that same year. They scored 40 against the Patriots and lost. I think it was 41-40 or something like that. They've played those games, but last year in the second half, the defense really came together. Now, it didn't look like it against the Raiders. And they're saying all the right things this week, that they made mistakes. And, you know, the Raiders, you know, give them credit, some new formation stuff they didn't see on tape. But I think this is a real proving point for them. This defense isn't what it was 2 years ago. They take great confidence. They've won games where they've made big plays. And they have the ability to do it. Look, they've paying over $20 million a year to Frank Clark and Chris Jones up front. Those guys have to get pressure. And, frankly, they didn't against the Raiders. And that's a big problem. That secondary is fine if you're not giving the quarterback all day. And I think that's going to be one of the big things. And the tight end has been a problem. Tight ends and running backs out of the backfield, I think Singletary's got a chance to have a day coming out of the backfield. You know, their linebackers haven't been great in coverage, although Willie Gay Jr., second-round pick, one of the best coverage linebackers in college football, they've slowly been getting him more reps and getting him up. He is a guy that can improve that they're really counting on to do that. But if the Bills can take advantage of the shortcomings, and yeah, I think this is a game that could go up and down the field because Andy Reid's not afraid to go up and down the field, and he's not just going to, you know, eat the ball or try to stall it out. He's going to keep trying to score when he's out there. So if the game gets that, if it has that tempo, Andy Reid's got the play sheet to keep digging deep down in there and keep firing with the play calls.
So, Ryan, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a question or two about the Royals, just because Nate Geary, who usually hosts Sports Talk Saturday, is a huge, huge Royals fan. And I'll ask you, just how quickly are they coming along with their rebuild, and how do you think their path towards getting back towards the top is coming along?
You know, their pitching is definitely coming along. All the young pitchers they took a couple of years ago seem to be on track. Brady Singer and Chris Bubich came up this year. Singer flirted with a no-hitter for 7 2/3, and really over the second half, I guess you'd call it, of these 60 games they played, he really was emerging as a guy that looks like he's going to be a top-of-the-rotation guy. And Chris Bubich looks like a guy who can eat some innings. And then Daniel Lynch, who wasn't up with the big club this year, is said to be the best of their young arms, and they've got depth of young arms. What they're really missing is a bottom of the batting order, and really, and if you could push some of the top guys down, they need about three or four bats, and they don't have anybody that looks like they're a guy that can just step in and play right away in the organization. Throw in the fact that you've got a new owner, a new ownership group that spent about $1 billion to buy the team and probably wants to recoup some of that money, and then had a first season where they lost tons of money, tons of revenue. I don't think free agency is going to be the answer for them. So they're still probably a couple of years away, but they took big steps. Their bullpen was fantastic, and they've got good young pitching on the way.
Very good. Well, Soren, I appreciate you taking the time. I know things are very busy for you guys out there in Kansas City, but we appreciate it. Thanks again, and enjoy the game this Sunday, and hopefully we'll get the chance to talk again sometime soon.
Yeah, let's do it. Listen, we always root for the small market team, so let's get a Chiefs-Bills AFC Championship game, and we'll talk then.
Man, now you're speaking my language. Thanks, Soren.
Take care.
All right, Soren Petro from Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. He is the host of the program on WHB Radio in Kansas City, joining us here on the Western Hotline. We thank him once again for taking some time this morning out in Kansas City and this afternoon here in Buffalo. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We're continuing to talk some football, but next hour I definitely want to get to some hockey talk because I know I'm probably going to make a lot of people very angry with what I want to talk about, and you can read some of my thoughts out of what I'm going to be talking about at WGR550.com in case you're getting yourself mentally prepared, but I'm about to really break it down, and I'll take your phone calls as well. Feel free to call in, feel free to tweet in and text in your thoughts on anything that that we're going to be talking about in the next hour. Joe Yernan also coming up next hour at 1:30 to talk some Sabres hockey with us right here on WGR. Is this per request here?
I got the button so I can do what I want. Little
This is your big debut.
Is this one of the dad songs that we were discussing?
Oh, this is a God-tier dad song. This is Peg by Steely Dan, because not only does it have Steely Dan, also has Michael McDonald and the backup vocals, which you will hear in a second after this verse. But yeah, it's Michael McDonald's doing the backup for it. So like, this is, quite frankly, a dangerous level of dad rock.
Ooh.
I mean, we could be in trouble with the FCC for broadcasting it.
Really? It's that bad?
Oh, my goodness. Every single dad in the city now has sped up by about 5 miles per hour on the freeway.
Just as long as you're not causing accidents. We don't need any more accidents on the thruway or anything. Oh.
See? This is where it hits. Like Sprite at McDonald's.
Mm. I'm not a dad, but I can vibe to this.
It is. It's primo vibes. It is. It's very good vibes. It's not really I wouldn't count it as a fall song, though. It doesn't have the fall feel to it, but it's great vibes.
I hear you. So yesterday, earlier this week, the Patriots had more positive COVID-19 tests, and that put tomorrow's game in jeopardy with the Broncos. Well, the Broncos just announced 10 minutes ago, they released a statement, and they said that they learned that running backs coach Curtis Modkins has tested positive for COVID-19. He won't accompany the team to New England, and that he's currently home in self-isolation and experiencing no symptoms. We've evaluated close contacts, administered necessary point-of-care testing, and implemented additional health and safety measures at UC Health Training Center, and the Broncos remain in regular communication with the league offices.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, more teams testing, having positive tests for COVID-19, and I almost want to say, like, this is kind of expected, where we'd get these random COVID-19 positive tests in teams and organizations. I think Jacksonville had one this morning.
I mean, we're on the cusp of having the most positive tests we've had as a nation so far. I mean, it's not random. Like, we have a horrible outbreak in the country.
Right,
so.
And it's the change of the season, too.
Yep.
It's that time where a lot of people are more likely to get sick, whether it's with colds, flus, anything like that, and here we go. We're getting ready for the second wave, and hopefully, you know, it's not going to have the same impact it did back in March when everything got shut down. But everybody, here's your friendly reminder. Just wherever you're going, just wear a mask. Wear a mask. Keep your socially, you know, distance 6 feet apart from people, and be safe out there. Really, really have the mindset of protecting others in mind. And really just be smart out there. Be smart, be healthy, and we'll get through this. We will get through this one way or another. And no matter how long it's going to take with this next upcoming wave, hopefully won't be as long and as bad. But just be safe. Take care of each other out there, and we'll get through this. We have before. We always will. And we'll move on.
If the Bills are following proper procedure, you follow proper procedure.
Yes, that's a good approach to take. Listen to Corey there when we talk about that. All right, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers here. If you want to talk some football, and we're going to get to some hockey talk next, because we got Joe Yurden coming up at 1:30. But I do really want to talk about the article that I wrote about and explain my reasoning, because I know when I bring this up, it's going to really, really make some people mad that I'm bringing this idea up and what I wrote about why this needs to happen. So we'll get to that next, and you're more than welcome to join us. 803-0550 is the number. You can tweet us, text us, call us, any way you want to get on the program. One more hour to go. Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson filling in for Nate Geary this week here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.